Welcome to our deep dive into the fascinating world of translation theory. You've sent over a ton of notes and articles about the Bible specifically.
Yeah.
And I've got to admit, some of this stuff really surprised me.
Uh-huh.
I remember growing up in this super old family Bible.
Yeah.
The kind that uses words I literally had to look up in a dictionary.
It's funny how those old translations can feel almost like a secret code,
right?
Isn't it? But it highlights a really important point.
Yeah.
Translation isn't as simple as just swapping words between languages, especially when we're talking about something as complex and nuanced as the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm so curious about. We all know translation is important.
Right.
But I don't think we always stop to think about what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So for this deep dive, let's unpack how those choices translators make actually impact how we understand the Bible.
Okay.
I'm hoping by the end of this, we'll all be able to pick up a Bible translation and have a better sense of what went into it.
That's a fantastic goal. And to kick things off, let's define what we mean by translation.
Okay.
At its core, it's taking a message from one language, the source, and putting it into another, the receptor.
Okay.
So in this case, the source is the original Hebrew and Greek of the Bible.
Right.
And the receptor is whatever language you're reading it in, like English or Spanish.
Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I've always wondered if the original languages are so different from English.
Mm.
Can we ever really get a truly literal translation?
That's a question that scholars have been debating for centuries.
Wow.
And the short answer is no.
Really?
A completely literal translation is impossible. Think of languages like two overlapping circles. There's common ground, but also parts that are totally unique to each one.
Okay.
Words might seem similar, but they carry different shades of meaning,
uh-huh.
cultural baggage, even grammatical quirks.
So even if you found a word in English that seemed like a perfect match for a word in Hebrew, they wouldn't be identical twins, more like distant cousins.
That's a great way to put it. Even something as basic as translating heaven from the Hebrew Shemaim involves interpretation. The translator has to decide which English word best captures the original meaning, considering the context and the nuances of both languages.
This is already blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I always thought some translations were closer to word for word than others.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that every translation involves interpretation no matter what.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's more about a spectrum of approaches. On one end, you have formal equivalence, which tries to stick as closely as possible to the form and structure of the original language, even if it sounds a little awkward in English.
Okay.
On the other end is dynamic equivalence, which prioritizes conveying the meaning in a way that's natural and understandable for modern readers.
So formal equivalence is like trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dynamic equivalence is more about finding a peg that actually fits.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And a great example is Colossians 3.17. If you translate the original Greek word order directly, it ends up sounding completely jumbled in English. But a dynamic equivalence translation like the NIV rearranges the words so it yeah. actually makes sense to us today.
That makes so much sense.
Right.
So basically, dynamic equivalence helps us understand those tricky parts of the Bible that might have gotten lost in translation otherwise.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it highlights a key takeaway. Every translation, whether it leans more formal or dynamic, involves choices made by the translator.
Right.
They have to consider not just individual words, but also the grammar, the historical context, even the intended audience.
Wow. So there's a lot more to it than I ever realized. It's like realizing your favorite movie was actually directed by someone.
Yeah.
Edited, scored all these decisions that shape how you experience the story.
That's such a good comparison.
Yeah.
And speaking of decisions, one of the big ones translators have to make is whether to prioritize the spoken language over the written language.
What, really? What do you mean by that?
Well, most people experience the Bible through hearing it read aloud, whether in church or during personal devotions.
Right.
So translators often try to make it sound natural and easy to understand when spoken out loud,
mm-hmm.
which might mean changing the word order or choosing words that flow better.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Oh.
Like how you'd explain something differently to a friend in conversation than you would in a written essay.
You got it.
Okay.
And another factor is readability for the target audience.
Hello.
Some translations, like the NIV, aim for a simpler writing level, so they're accessible to a wider range of people. It's all about bridging that gap between the ancient world and the modern world.
So translators aren't just language experts. They're almost like cultural ambassadors.
Yeah.
They're taking this ancient text and making it relatable to people today. This is making me realize just how much goes into creating a Bible translation. And it makes me wonder, Why are there so many different ones out there?
That's a great question. And it ties into something we were talking about earlier, how language changes over time. Words take on new meanings, cultural references become outdated, and even grammar rules shift.
Right.
So a translation that made perfect sense 100 years ago might sound strange or even misleading to us today. That's why new translations are so important. They keep the Bible fresh and understandable for each generation.
So it's like updating a classic movie with special effects or a new soundtrack. The story stays the same.
Right.
But the presentation changes to connect with a modern audience.
That's a perfect analogy. A good example is the word gay. A few centuries ago, it simply meant happy or carefree. Mm. But today, it has a very different meaning. So older translations that use the word in its original sense could easily be misunderstood.
Wow, that's a great point.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want someone reading the Bible for the first time and getting the wrong idea because of a word that's changed meaning over time.
Speaking of changes in language, one thing I've noticed is that newer translations seem to use more gender-inclusive language. Can you talk about that a little bit? Absolutely. This is one of the areas where translation theory gets really interesting because it intersects with cultural values and how we understand gender today.
Okay, I'm all ears. I've heard people say that gender-neutral translations are changing the Bible or pushing an agenda. Is that true?
Well, like we've been discussing, every translation involves interpretation. And when it comes to gender, things get a bit tricky because the original languages of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, have grammatical genders. So even words for objects or ideas have a masculine or feminine form, even though gender might not be relevant to the meaning.
So in those languages, even a rock or a tree has a gender. That seems so strange to us in English.
It does, doesn't it? But that's how those languages work. And it creates a real challenge for translators because English doesn't have grammatical gender for nouns. So they have to decide how to handle those cases where the original text uses a masculine form but seems to be referring to both men and women.
So it's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. You can't force English grammar onto a Hebrew or Greek text without changing the meaning.
Exactly. And this is where the interpretation comes in. Some translations stick with traditional masculine language, even when it might not accurately reflect the intended meaning. Others use more gender-inclusive language to try to convey the original sense more clearly.
So it's about finding a balance between staying true to the original text and making sure it's understandable to modern readers. Do you have any examples of how this plays out in actual Bible translations?
Sure. One common example is Psalm 1.1. The original NIV translation says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." But the 2011 NIV update changed "man" to "one" to make it clear that the blessing applies to anyone regardless of gender.
Oh, I've noticed that. It's a small change, but it makes a big difference in terms of inclusivity. What about a more complex example?
A good one is Hebrews 2.6. This verse quotes from Psalm 8, which talks about the wonder of humanity being created a little lower than the angels. The original NIV uses the phrase, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" It's very male-centric, even though the psalm seems to be talking about all of humanity.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's leaving out women completely.
Right, and that's why translations like the NRSV use more inclusive language. They translate it as, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them?" It might sound a little different from the traditional wording, but it reflects the broader meaning of the passage more accurately.
That makes sense. It's not about changing the Bible. It's about making sure the translation reflects the original meaning as closely as possible. This is all so fascinating. I never realized how much thought and careful consideration goes into every word choice in a Bible translation. It's not just about finding synonyms. It's about understanding the nuances of language, culture, and even theology.
It's true. Translation is an art as much as it is a science. And it requires deep sensitivity to both the original text and the audience it's being translated for.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. It's like pulling back the curtain and seeing all the work that goes into making the Bible accessible to us.
It is.
But what does this all mean for us as readers? Mm. Are we supposed to become translation scholars just to pick up a Bible?
That's where it gets really empowering. Knowing about these different approaches allows you to choose a translation that fits what you're looking for.
Okay.
Do you want a translation that stays close to the original wording? Or one that prioritizes clarity and readability for a modern audience? It's all about finding the right tool for the job.
So if I'm doing a deep dive into a specific passage,
yeah,
maybe I'd grab a more formal equivalence translation,
right,
to really get a sense of the original Hebrew or Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But for my daily reading,
yeah,
I might choose a dynamic equivalence translation that's easier to understand.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to compare different translations.
Oh, okay.
Seeing how different scholars have interpreted a particular passage can give you a richer understanding of its nuances. It's like having a conversation with multiple Bible experts, each offering their own perspective.
That's a fantastic tip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to try that. It's like getting a second opinion, but for Bible interpretation. Okay, before we wrap up, I have one last question that's been bugging me. What if the original authors of the Bible, you know, the prophets and apostles, had written in English? What kind of translation choices would they have made for us today?
That is a fascinating question. It's impossible to know for sure.
Yeah.
But it makes you think about the heart of their message. They were trying to communicate with their own audiences using the language and cultural references that would have resonated with them.
Right.
So I imagine they would do the same for us, find a way to make their message clear, compelling, and accessible to a 21st century audience.
Yeah, it's such a great point. It reminds us that the Bible isn't some ancient artifact frozen in time.
Right.
It's a living word that still speaks to us today.
Yeah.
It's up to us to find the translations and interpretations that help us hear that message most clearly.
Beautifully said. And the conversation doesn't end here. Keep exploring different translations, asking questions, and sharing your insights with others. The more we engage with the Bible, the more it comes alive in our lives.
This deep dive has been eye-opening. It's made me realize how much goes into bringing those ancient words to life for modern readers. I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for the Bible and the translators who work so hard to make it understandable for us.
It's been a pleasure diving into this with you.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the world of Bible translation. Remember, there's no one right translation. It's about finding what works best for you. So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep discovering the richness of the Bible. Until next time, happy reading.